Good morning, South Fork family. I'm so glad that you could join us here online for our online worship service. I want you to know that I'm missing being able to gather together to hear us raise one voice in praise and harmony to our Lord and Savior. I miss being able to shake your hand, to hear your stories, to hug your neck, and to be in conversation with one another. I miss you, and I look forward to the day that we're able to gather once again in worship. But until that day, thank you so much for joining us online, for participating in these digital opportunities for us to worship together. I'm thankful that we have the technology that enables us to be able to connect together. I know times are strange, times are difficult, and there is, for some worry and concern about how life is supposed to look. I want to start this morning by sharing with you some lyrics from a song. Lauren Alanis has a song called Getting Good. And I think it really gives us a perspective of how we need to see the world, to see what is going on around us. I really believe that in this moment, God is at work. He is preparing the church for some great new opportunities. He is rearranging our schedule. He is changing our habits. And he is helping to draw our attention right back to him. Listen to the lyrics here. She writes, "Once I fall in love, then I'll be happy. But then you fall in love, and there's still a hole. Once I get some money, it'll all be easy. And then you get that money, and you still feel broke. Once I get a little older, I won't worry. Then you get a little older, and it doesn't feel like it should. I'm thinking, once I learn to grow right where I'm planted, maybe that's when life starts getting good. Once I get a car that doesn't stall in the morning, I can make it anywhere that I want. Just wait. But I can see it right now sitting in my driveway, afraid if I take it out, I'll chip the paint. Once I get a house that I can hang my hat on, I bet I want to build a bigger one. I'm thinking, once I learn to grow right where I'm planted, maybe that's when life starts getting good. I'm afraid of both my parents dying. I call my dad and he answers right away. I didn't hear a word because I was thinking about what hasn't happened yet, but will someday. We hang up the phone before I know it. I'm crying over the conversation my fear took. I'm thinking once I learn to soak up every moment, I'll realize my life's already good." Church, we gather together in a very unique, and truly there are some difficult moments in this time. I don't mean to whitewash or dismiss those that are sick, those who have endured death, other trials of life, but I wish to draw our attention to some of the opportunities I think God is presenting us as a church. This morning, I want to remind us that we are the church. What does that mean? We are the church. You can go to church, some people say, but that really is not true. Because the church is you. You can go to church online. They invite us to watch these online experiences. And I know many have shuffled around and visited and listened to a variety of different lessons. And you're finding encouragement in a variety of wonderful places. And that's great. But that's not church. A location, an online experience, that is not what God means when he talks about the church. Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered, there I am. Or you gather in my name, there I am also." And lately I've heard some conversation about, is that a legal term? Do we have to have two or three before the Spirit of Christ is there? Is it really fair for us to meet in other places, meet in our homes, be isolated from one another? Are we resembling what was written in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, when the writer says, "Do not forsake the assembly, as some are in the habit of doing"? Or are we living true and righteous lives? I want to challenge us this morning to think about what it means to be church, what it means to worship God, and can we make that happen in our small gatherings? Is it possible that even those who are single, are widowed, or the spiritual singles within their home, they are able to worship and still have God there in their midst. Think for just a moment about Elijah. If you were part of our online classes this last week, we talked about when he confronted those prophets of Baal, when he set up those two altars and those prophets of Baal spent all day calling upon their God to bring down fire and to start that altar, and nothing happened. We talked about Elijah as he then calls on the name of the Lord, and fire comes down and it licks up all of the altar, the sacrifice, the water that is around. And all those that are there praise and glorify the name of God. But in just a few moments, we find Elijah hiding out in despair and frustration. He's alone. He's worried about the world. And there God comes and confronts him and reminds him of who God really is. Elijah all by himself in the presence of God. What about Daniel, for example? We find Daniel in exile, living in this new land, trying to remember God, to honor God. We find him praying alone in his room day after day, and now the laws change, and it's not right for him to be able to do that, and so then he is thrown into the lion's den. Single individual, trying to honor God. And there we find the angel of the Lord shutting the mouths of the lions. But Matt, that's Old Testament. Jesus is saying, where two or three are gathered, there I am. Maybe this is the new law. Maybe that's really how we are supposed to live. Let me remind you of a major player within the New Testament, Paul. As he is on those missionary journeys, as he's traveling about, even when he is in prison for 5 or 6 years, waiting for his opportunity to defend his faith. Are we to believe that every time he was gathered together with another Christ follower, that he was never alone? Perhaps we know that Paul was very influential in sharing his faith, and probably those that were in prison with him came to know Christ, gave their life to Christ. We know that many who were a part of the prison guard became a part of the Christ followers as well. But we also know that Paul finds himself forsaken by many. He is left alone, and the suffering that he endures is very difficult for him at times. Did God not listen to his prayers? Was God not there because he was not gathered with two or three? I think the true spirit of the word is to call us to want to be together. But in those moments when we are in exile, when we are being scattered, as the Hebrew writer says, that we were living in caves, they were destitute, they were in moments of great chaos. They didn't lose their faith. They didn't forget about their priorities. But they were unable to gather like their hearts desire. And maybe that's where we are right now. Unable to gather like our hearts desire. And so I want to reassure you that what is happening right now, even if you are in a home alone, God hears your prayers, God cares about you, and God is there with you. I know in just a few moments, we will have an opportunity to gather again. We will be living in that full freedom, able to move around the city, to be together in large gatherings, and our heart is desiring to be there. We are the church when we live like Peter. Remember Jesus, when he is talking to his disciples, he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And they give all sorts of answers, but Peter says, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah, you are the Son of God." And Jesus says, based on that confession, based on that truth, I will build my church. This morning we gather not in fear. We gather in faith because we worship the Son of God, the Messiah, God the Father, and the Spirit. We gather together even though we are separate, and God is here with us. This morning, I want to remind us that we are Christ followers, And to be a Christ follower means that we're going to spend more time outside the church than we do inside the church building. That we are going to participate in a life like Christ calls us to live. Look at in Luke chapter 5, verse 31, when Jesus is there with Levi, the tax collector. And Jesus says, "I did not come for the healthy, but for the sick." He gives that rebuttal as he's being ridiculed for not being with those that are ordained, those that are set apart, but he's with those who are sinners, who are outside of the church, outside those who were living in faith. Jesus, again, in Luke chapter 15, tells this wonderful story about the good shepherd who has 100 sheep and one wanders away, and that good shepherd goes after that sheep. And he spends his time looking until he finds the one that was lost. Luke continues on and gives us a story about Zacchaeus in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It comes to the end as Jesus is once again with his tax collector. And Jesus says very clearly, "I came to seek and to save the lost." We are going to be Christ followers if we are a part of this church. We are going to then live our life out in the world, away from the church building, away from the gathered, as we try to follow and live and pattern our lives after Christ. This morning, I want to encourage you to live a part of this family, even though we are separated. Live as a light in your community, even though we are in kind of a sequestered time. This morning, I want to encourage you to live as Christ would live, to be a blessing. Though we may not feel like we have all the resources, all the opportunities that we normally have, we still have some great opportunities in front of us. How many of us right now would be overjoyed if our phone rang, one of our brothers and sisters reached out to call us to encourage us? How many of us would be thrilled to walk down to the mailbox tomorrow and to receive a handwritten letter from one of our good friends at the South Fork Church of Christ? How many of us would be encouraged if we got an email, if somebody was sending us a text right now, reminding us that we are loved, that we are missed, and they are just looking out for us? In your neighborhood right now, you have many who might be living with great anxiety and fear. Many who are seeing that their resources are dwindling, and if you would reach out to them, they would be greatly impressed and encouraged. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10 that even if you give a cup of water to one of these, you will not lose your reward. It seems like we have such limited resources, but the truth is we have such great opportunity to be a wonderful blessing to those around us. One of my favorite stories is of a situation that may have transpired in a hospital room. Two different individuals find themselves in one room together, man nearest the window, man nearest the hallway. Share this room together for several days as they are combating their different illnesses. As the boredom and the difficulty of life continue to drone on, as they find themselves in moments of dullness, the man nearest the window would lift up his bed just enough so he could look out the window, and he would begin to tell the story to his roommate of all that is going on in this park right across the street from the hospital. He would describe about the young boy with the new puppy as they are chasing one another around a tree. He would talk about this young couple that is in love and sitting face to face on the park bench. He would talk about the little vendor who had a hot dog stand right there at the edge of the park. And as people would come, as families would gather, he would paint these pictures for his roommate and bring a bright light into his world. Unfortunately, the next day, next evening, the man nearest the window passes away. And after all the commotion, after everything is taken care of, the room is cleaned, the bed is prepped, the man in the nearest the hallway asks his nurse, "Could you move me over by the window?" The nurse rearranges the beds, the man moves over, and as the nurse finally leaves, he starts to press that button, his bed lifts, and his eyes look out the window. And for the first time, he sees not the picture that his roommate has been describing these last few days, but he notices that there's only a view of the rooftop, for there's a building next door. There's no park. You see, even in that hospital room, the one man, had the gift of creativity, the gift of storytelling, and he brought joy and a blessing to his roommate. I know within your time, within your talents, within your resources, you have opportunity to be a blessing to many people around you. This morning, I want to encourage you that we are the church. We are Christ followers. And our opportunity is not only to gather in large gatherings with other believers, but our opportunity is to be a light in our community. I believe that there are great days ahead for South Fork Family. I believe that we are the church. We are living by God's word, and we are living with his spirit that empowers us to do these good works each and every day. I've heard stories of many of our members reaching out, sharing their faith, and proclaiming their love for those that are in need. I want to encourage you to keep on keeping on. This is a great day. This is a great opportunity. And may we join together in spirit and in truth. And one day, may we join together in the same room and continue to worship our Lord and our Savior. Blessings to all.